Hello and welcome back to Pod Upon Parish. I'm John Fagan, CEO of Scribe and Civic here, and this is episode number 4. So today we've got Millie Manton from Compound, and she's going to be talking about something that a lot of councils don't think about enough: designing playgrounds for tweens and teens. Not just the under fives, but the older kids who still want to be outside and active. Plus, we'll touch on some playground safety basics. Millie, welcome. How are you doing? And actually, where are you based?
Where are you based?
Thank you. Hi. Yeah, I'm based in Cheshire, in the lovely Cheshire, and I work on the road, so I'm at home today, but I do tend to be out in the car on my normal day to day.
You are? Okay, yeah, because we met, can you remember what event we met up and I asked you?
It was Staffordshire Parish Council Association, I think, back.
Oh yeah, we're upstairs, that's quite a busy event. Good.
Yeah, maybe November last year, I think.
Yeah. You went and did a talk, and then I thought, I'll ask you if you would like to do a talk at Scribe Academy. Awesome. So you literally, you're on the road every week.
Yes. Yeah. Typically 3 to 4 days a week, I'm on the road, going out, seeing customers, but mainly parish councils and town councils and local authorities, and also other customers for playgrounds and outdoor fitness.
Is that across the whole country?
Just my area. So I'm an area sales manager, so I look after North Wales, Cheshire, and then all of Staffordshire.
Cool. And tell us a little bit about Compound, actually, for people that might not be fully aware. I mean, you're going to share this on the webinar later, but
Of course. So Compound are a very well-known brand. We've been going for over 50 years, based out in the Czech Republic. And our factory is based in the Czech Republic, and we design and build playgrounds. That is our core. That is our core function. But we also have a huge research arm now, which is what I'm going to touch on in the webinar today, because they do loads of research around child development, teenagers, and also adults in fitness, and how we can benefit from outdoor fitness, but in a more sort of future-proofed way. Fantastic company to work for, to be honest.
Awesome. So what have you always been into playgrounds? I mean, what did you do at uni? Did you go to uni, or how did you get into?
I did go to uni. It wasn't the most clear pathway into playgrounds, to be honest. I did sports science.
Okay.
So I have always been a sporty person, and I've always been into the outdoors and being active, and I play lots of sports and things like that. But I started my career designing indoor gyms. And that's what sort of transitioned me across the Compan. They were looking for someone who has more fitness knowledge to help them with the fitness side. Because everyone else who typically worked at Compound was all about the play and children, and that was a bit I didn't know. So I've managed to now sort of blend back into that role of more towards the playground side.
Awesome. So how do you actually, you're on the road 3-4 days a week, so how do you keep your fitness going? Because that is about, because normally fitness is much easier when you've got your normal routines, you're at home, in the office, and you can do it. So how do you maintain that?
It's a good question. I'm quite good with, I always do the same things on the same days of the week. So I am loving hot pod yoga at the moment.
Pod yoga. Okay. Yeah. I want to give that a go.
It's fantastic. Yeah. So I've been doing that for over a year now, and I absolutely love that. So I do that twice a week. I also do tap dancing lessons. I've been tapping since I was 3. So that's more of a fun one for me. Although we are leading up to a show in July, so that'll be good.
Good. Yeah, my daughter's a tap dancer. She's got a show coming up.
We're just looking at costumes, so all of that sort of good stuff. And then also I tend to do 2 to 3 gym sessions, so it does work out. I understand the question, because it's hard when you're sitting in the car for hours.
Yes.
But at least when I get to my meetings, I tend to be stood up in a park and walking around.
Yes.
So that does help as well with that sort of aspect.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the road a fair bit to attend events, but it's a lot easier running, because I'm a big runner. And I always I actually get into the car. Normally I go to an event the night before, set up in the morning. But whenever I get in the car, I've got my run kit on ready. And I'll put in the route to the destination, and I will put in search along route, like waterfalls or national park or something like that.
Oh, nice.
I'll make sure I get a run in on the way, because we'll have to shift over to the webinar soon. But I guess I was going to ask you a personal secret about you that maybe it's not widely known, but maybe already the tap dancing is, but I don't know. Is there anything about yourself that...
That's probably quite a good one in a professional setting, because you don't tend to talk about it.
No.
But one, another good one is I've actually done shark cage diving twice.
Cool. All right.
First time I did it was about 10 years ago. I was volunteering in South Africa, and then I've
Oh, in South
actually,
Africa, whereabouts?
in Gansby, which is like along the Garden Route,
Okay, right, yeah.
the south coast of South Africa. And then I've more recently just done it a couple of weeks ago because we went back for our honeymoon. So I had to get my new husband to try it out as
Oh,
well.
sweet. That's a good test.
Yeah,
Oh,
and he loved it. He was in there the longest, so.
awesome. So that was down in got same place in South Africa.
Yes, yeah,
Awesome.
we did the garden route for about 3 weeks, so.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, I used to live in South Africa. So but so also congratulations. You got
Thank
hitched.
you.
Okay. When was that?
The wedding was New Year's Eve, and then the
Okay.
honeymoon was, like I said, we got back last week, so yeah,
Awesome.
we're 3 weeks away.
Awesome, good. Right, yes. So back on the topic. So, what do you hope? Like, what's like? Let's go with the main mistake people make. Common pitfall related to playgrounds, children's safety, fitness, and everything. Like, people you would say people make on this topic as we.
Yeah, so touching on the sort of teens and tweens aspect of what I'm going to talk about today, the main mistake I tend to see is that they just get forgotten about. So when local authorities or parish councils are looking at an open space and a playground, typically they kind of cut it off at 11, 12 years of age, and that's where we're going wrong, in my opinion, and also through some of the research that I'm going to show. So I think that is the main thing, is just totally forgetting about that age group and almost just seeing them as a nuisance when actually they want to be outside, they want to be active. Let's give them somewhere to
Okay.
be. So today we're talking about a couple of different topics. The majority of the webinar today, I'm going to be talking about teens and tweens because they do love playgrounds, and also a small section on the basics of playground safety. This is obviously a bit more of an informative section of the webinar, but we'll get to that part next. It's a fluid word, really, because you become a tween at sort of different ages for different people and different genders. So that could be anywhere from 8 years old all the way up to 16. That's when they're definitely in those core teen years. But from 8 years old, you're starting to get into that tween section. I think it's a fantastic word, and I think it's nice that we're able to separate them out from toddlers and juniors. So we have a Common Play Institute. They are doing research in playgrounds and child development. Testing and documentation of play designs of children with children of all abilities. We actually publish white papers and publications on these topics in collaboration with different schools, universities, and groups. And then we also have a consultancy arm to help city planning, which is obviously what I do. So, why do we play differently as tweens and teens, in comparison to a toddler or a junior age? We have that onset of puberty from potentially the 8 years old, depending on girls, boys, and different levels of development. What that means is that these children are needing more sleep, they're growing, their appearance is changing, and they also have a challenged sense of balance, which is an interesting one when it comes to thinking about play. So, what do we know about tweens and teens in 2026? So, a little bit of the research that I was looking at. Health Club Management did an article, and they actually did some talking to this age group and found out that those age groups now are actually drinking less than we were when we were teens. They're more wellness focused, so they're more, I suppose, they understand more how to be healthy, and they have more knowledge. And I think that's from growing up in such a tech savvy environment, and they're wanting real world experiences. So, National Library of Medicine shows a severe decline in physical activity from the age of 10 onwards. I think that these two data sources show us that adolescents are wanting to live a more healthy lifestyle, but it's not positively impacting their actual physical activity levels yet. So, I think we're in a position where we need to help this age group feel seen and understood, and to create spaces for them to enjoy. So, Generation Alpha were born between 2010 and 2024. They're our current main group of tweens and teens, and we're now on to Generation Beta. Like I say, they've grown up in a completely different way than we have. So we need to try and understand them and find out what they would actually benefit from and what they would actually enjoy. So when we talk about tweens, during those tween years, around 9 to 12, their physical activity levels decline, as we've just seen, and it is a common challenge. How do we activate this age group? We've seen that with the right facilities, this can be supported and we can help them be more active. So if we look at the World Health Organization, they give us physical activity guidelines for every different age group. You can go on their website and it'll tell you what age and what gender you are and how much activity you should be doing, is a recommendation. But the definition of physical activity when talking about this age group comes down to several categories. Play is involved in that. Games, sports, transportation, so cycling or walking or running, recreational activity, and then your PE and fitness classes. It's recommended that they get 60 minutes a day of moderate activity. And these activities should train all their muscles, their motor skills. So play is not just about swinging and spinning and things like that. It's actually developing those gross motor skills and those fine motor skills. So agility, balance, coordination, aerobic fitness. If you get on a zip wire and you go down it and then you run back to the top and you go down it 10 more times, that's training your aerobic fitness as an example. And in turn, that trains your bone bone density. So all of these things are beneficial for the health of the tween population. So if we move on to a little bit of the background sort of data behind this. So our Compound Play Institute did a study. It was in cooperation with the University of Southern Denmark. So they conducted a major study using GPS trackers and activity trackers. So this monitored their activity within a playground. This one was actually done in a school playground. And what you can see on the hotspot analysis is a couple of really red areas. It's a small diagram, I know, but we have done all the data processing in the background, and this is just to give you a snapshot of what it looked like to us. Essentially, the study identified four main activity motivators for tweens. So that was ball game areas, areas away from the playground, climbing equipment, and then combinations of active participation and spectatorship. So if we go into those a little bit more, ball games, if you think about it more than a game of football or a game of netball, it trains agility, balance, coordination. There's a social aspect. They're learning collaboration. They're learning competitive nature. It's all those sorts of things that actually link into a game of football or a game of netball. Areas away from the playground, I think, is a really interesting one because we're talking today about how to design a play space or a playground, but actually, tweens love areas that are not within a fence line and that are separate and that give them some sense of independence. I'm sure we can all relate to this when we were turning 12, 13, 14. We probably just wanted a bit of our own space at times to be with our friends, to be on our own. So I think that's really key, even just some little seating areas or play equipment that's outside of a natural boundary is always lovely for that age group. And then if we look at climbing equipment, climbing trains your bone density again, your balance, your coordination, muscular strength. And it kind of starts to link this age group into fitness type movements. Because as soon as we get to that teenage and then into adulthood, all of a sudden we're not playing, we're working out or we're doing games or physical activity in a different way. And then if we look at active participation and spectatorship, we can see this age group, they might like to perform for each other, they do dances. We can see that through things like TikTok these days. And it builds confidence, bravery, social development. So I think that's a really nice sort of overview on what tweens would actually love to see in their play spaces. So if we move on to teens, so we're moving up in the age groups, looking at a little bit of data again, on a global scale, only around 23% of 11 to 17-year-olds meet the minimum recommendations of physical activity. That's the minimum as well. So they're not being extra healthy, they're not being extra active, they are not even meeting the least amount of activity that we think they should be doing. I think a lot of this maybe does come back to the fact that they have grown up in, like I said before, a more technical world with phones and screens, and people are more wary to let their tweens and teens play out at night like I used to. So the world is slightly different, but we need to for these children, but we need to understand that and cater for them when we're thinking about these outdoor spaces. So this is devastating, isn't it? And the fact that they actually always state that they like playful physical activity with friends, they like to be outside. That's what makes it more sad, is the fact that we're not accommodating for those users, or in some spaces we're not. And so I think that's where we yourselves looking after different parishes and all these outdoor spaces and town councils and local authorities, is you've got the power, you hold the power of what to do with these spaces and making sure that they don't feel excluded. A lot of our playgrounds are catered towards younger children, which I know we've talked about in the last sort of 10 or 15 minutes, with a couple of examples there, looking at school age, which tends to only go up to 11, 12 years old. But actually, the children older than that are still wanting to be outside. They're still wanting to do active things. So let's help them do that. There's a little table there, which I think is quite nice, and it kind of just reiterates the points that I made on the previous slide, is teens are still wanting ball games, climbing equipment, and then additional to that, things like trim trails. Trim trails are quite a topic that we discuss quite a lot at Compan and with colleagues and different customers, because some people hate them, some people love them. They're quite a simple, straightforward product in essence, but it's nice to have a start and an end point. And we find that it's an easy way to be sociable with friends without having to sit and face them. For those who aren't so great with eye contact and things like that, we've got to start to think about neurodiversities as well, which I don't really go into today, but on a sort of separate topic of inclusivity. The other things that they really love, this age group, is swings. Really, really simple, really, really straightforward piece to include in your playgrounds, but swings. Of different types. So basket swings are fantastic for that age group, because three or four of them will load on there together and lie and enjoy the movement and chat and engage with each other. A basket swing is also a really inclusive piece. So it's something where you don't need much core strength to use. You can lay down on it, you can sit, you can stand. Flat swings as well, for those who want to sit side by side. And a piece that I like to use a lot when thinking about tweens and teens in larger outdoor spaces is group swings, where they all swing together and they're all swinging with their feet hitting in the center. So swings is a really simple, really straightforward one, but think about your swings not just within your fenced play area. Is there a separate space you could put some and create a little area for the older children perhaps? So if we move on and have a little look at some, I suppose, example products of what might suit this age group. Teens love play that's less prescriptive. It's more creative. It's not, you're not being told exactly what to do, and they can kind of play in their own way. It seems to be less juvenile. It allows them to be active in a different way to the younger users on the site. So we see them loving creative seating solutions, hangout spaces, and dynamic play that doubles up as social. So it's all about that hangout. Can they sit and chill on it for a moment and chat to their friends and then carry on? That's a huge part of how we see this age group playing and being active. So if you look at the top piece, for example, that sort of green seating planter, it's actually a planter and a seating piece, this one. It's effectively a multifunctional piece, because we would see people lying down on it, sitting on it, standing on it, climbing up it, leaning on it. They might jump from the top. And actually, you look at it, you probably don't see all those things straight away. But if you were a teenager, you would view it in a totally different way. Hammocks are lovely because they can lie back and chill. You can get a couple of children on there together, give them a moment of respite as well, a bit of calm. The climbing blocks are fantastic. We always see these being used in sites where children will enjoy the climbing aspects, but then just sit on the top and just relax and almost just enjoy the view for a few minutes. So yeah, just getting a little bit creative. We've got a rope swing at the top of the slide there, and you might see, again, you might see that as a swing, but actually that could be seen as a creative seating solution, because you can get eight children on there just sitting, hanging out. And it links back to that spectatorship. So perhaps one child is on there and they're able to stand up and they've got the bravery and the confidence to do that, and their friends are watching them. So there's all these different aspects of play that we don't necessarily think about straight away, because we tend to revert back to a tick box. Have we got slides? Have we got swings? Have we got a roundabout? So these are just a couple of examples, but really, there's so many different ways you can create these spaces for this age group. So something that I'm really sort of passionate about, probably because I'm a girl myself, is making sure we can activate teenage girls. It's a topic of conversation at the moment. There is a fantastic organization called Make Space for Girls that are really pushing this. And this is purely because we have seen through consultations when we've been creating spaces for our customers that girls are getting forgotten about, not just tweens and teens in general, but teenage girls in particular are not being catered for. And that does sometimes link back to the fact that there tends to always be a space for football. Girls do play football, but there's also other things that I think we should be thinking about when we're creating those game spaces. So when we look back to this research, this is the same table I used before, but the sort of pinky purple colour represents the girls. And we can see that girls are loving trim trails. Girls really love swings. So the example I mentioned before about all the swings going into one another, that is a really popular piece from our research. They still love ball pitches and ball games, climbing equipment, spinning. So that kind of vestibular sensory stimulation of spinning around and the freedom and the thrill that it gives you, that's not lost on a teen and teenage and a tween age girl. So also remember those when you're thinking about your teenage spaces. They still love really playful design. Okay, so in a bit of a summary then for designing for tweens and teens, based on the research, the below factors are important to include in your open spaces and your playgrounds. And we understand that everybody's open space and open playground isn't all the same size. You also don't always have the facilities to or the budgets to be able to offer all of these things, but it's just considering which ones could you achieve for your local community, your local tweens and teens. So open-ended play, non-prescriptive play. So thinking about those things that they can climb, a little bit of play at height, can they sit on top of it and look out? Areas of interest and non-traditional play, let's get creative. Areas for performance. I've actually just been designing a lovely site where we've created a space specifically for teenage girls or with them in mind. It's got some lovely somersault bars. We've also got a play panel which has a theatre backdrop, which is fantastic because there's a drama school nearby, and we knew that they were keen to be involved in the design. So we've actually included them a little, almost a little stage. So that links straight back to this areas performers for performers and spectators. Challenging play, spinning, swinging, creativity, great games and music. So the games part doesn't always have to be physical games. There are some fantastic products on the market now where there are interactive game boards or interactive with the surfacing colours. Things like Twister, which I remember from my childhood, where you've got the coloured spots on the floor and then the game board, and then you can twist the game board and play it that way. So there's some really interesting ideas for that. And then if we move on, we've got hangout spaces and creative seating. Features away from the main playground area, seating that doubles up as swings, seesaws, dynamic play, social areas. Let's move away from our typical, or let's try to move away from our typical shelter that we kind of, it's kind of a token thing that we're giving to our teams in our play spaces. But how can we do that differently? How can you get creative with it? And then onto trim trails, balancing, and sports areas and multi-use games areas. So there's always going to be a place for sports and multi-use games areas. Open sports and ball areas are typically more welcoming. So think about whether that's possible in your area. And then things that promote gymnastics type play, different types of fitness through play is nice because they're going into that age group. So just to wrap up that area, that's of the webinar, that's obviously talking about
Awesome.
tweens
Great.
and
Thanks, Millie. That
teens.
was a good session with the audience. Some good questions there. So what's, if we had to like look back on everything that you talked about, what's one key takeaway you would want someone to take away from that session? Obviously, we gave the mistake, before, but yeah, what's the main takeaway?
I think the main takeaway is for tweens and teenagers, not just giving them a shelter. In a play or an open
Oh,
space. So
yes.
let's get creative with our designing of our outdoor spaces in the UK.
100%. Yeah, if you can get creative, and they can also be, if they're really good spaces, and then obviously teen, you know, tweens might be more inclined to share it on social and all that kind of stuff. It can help.
Exactly.
So going, we always like to know people personally a bit better. Hopefully that's kind of evident in this podcast. So I'm going to go back to you now again. So we ask these questions at the end for our guest speakers. So if you could go back to your 18-year-old self and sit down with that Millie, that what were you doing at 18?
I was in Leeds, probably just started my university degree. And I think maybe I'd tell myself to be a bit more strict on my diet and my healthy lifestyle, maybe start it a little bit earlier, I think
I
I
can definitely agree with that. I basically cheese toasties and chips. I think that's where I was at. And
would say.
Nesquik at
Yeah,
uni.
lots of pasta, I think, I was on.
Cool. And then finally, we have the each guest leaves a question for the from the previous guest. So I will ask you to leave a question for the next guest. But I have a question from Eleanor Green from the last podcast. So she said, it was a great question. I love this. If you won the lottery and didn't have to work, would you carry on working at all?
I think that's a no-brainer for me. I think it would be a yes. I honestly think I'm too sort of active to not have a purpose, even if it was something more related to something that I enjoy in my spare time. So maybe linking back to sort of physical activity and sports and games, or even maybe a co opening a coffee shop would be lovely. Something a bit more less stressful.
So your job's can be quite stressful, can it?
It just gets a bit busy, doesn't it? Any corporate job, I think, can overload you sometimes. And there's deadlines and things like that. I think it would be nice to not be behind a computer at all. I only do it a couple of days a week, but for me, it's still too much. I'd like to be out and about. I
Well, you're on a standing desk by the looks of it there, so
am, yeah, you
better.
can tell.
Awesome. Okay, to wrap this up, let's yeah. So you got to drop a question for your next guest. What is that?
Yes. So my question is, if you could pick someone else's job for a week, what would you pick?
Oh, love that question. That is great. That is like because they had that show, didn't they? What was that? That job swap show once.
Oh, like
Yeah,
Wife
a bit like it. No, it was actually. It wasn't. It was where you could try and fake it, fake being an expert, like you
Oh,
were.
yeah.
So you dropped in and you had like a month to prepare for being an expert on a particular thing. But yeah, I like that question. Yeah, if you could job swap, that's awesome. Okay, thanks for your time.
Brilliant.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming along to speak to our
Thank you.
audience. Yeah, take it easy. Cheers, Millie.
Thanks.